I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey, I'm Steph, and this is Not Today. Hello and welcome, or welcome back. So happy you're here, because today I have quite the story to tell you. I think it's safe to say that most of us have experience with a really terrible ex. There's a whole slew of reasons why an ex can be bad, like, for instance, lying, cheating, manipulation, just to name a few. But now imagine your worst ex devised a well-thought-out scheme and got you thrown in jail for 7 months for something that you didn't do. That was the reality for the woman we're going to be talking about today. But before we jump in, I want to remind you that we have 39 full-length bonus episodes over on our Patreon that our patrons vote on, and episode 40 is currently in the works. Alex and I will be talking about the story of Gina Geese, who was one of the only people to survive rabies without the rabies vaccine. And that will be coming out next Tuesday, so if you're interested in that and a bunch more fun perks, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. Our episode today will contain discussion about sensitive topics, so listener discretion is advised. Simona Sumasar was the oldest of three children. She spent her early years in Guyana, South America, but when she was 11 years old, came to the U.S. with her parents, brother, and sister. She grew up in Queens, New York, and lived in the same house basically for her whole life, and eventually bought the house that she grew up in from her parents. To Simona, that house meant so much to her, and was always going to be hers, or at least stay in the family in some way. Simona's father worked for Steinway Piano Company and had his own business, which was a taxi company. When Simona graduated, she first worked for a broker at Morgan Stanley on Wall Street. She worked ridiculous hours and very quickly moved up in the company, but always had a dream of owning her own business like her father, who she looked up to. So after a couple of years at working at Morgan Stanley, she thought it was time to try opening a restaurant. She used all her savings and finally decided on opening a Golden Krust. Golden Krust is a franchise that serves Jamaican cuisine. And growing up, Simona ate that kind of food and was very familiar with Jamaican cuisine. She even had experience in cooking the food, so it felt like a perfect fit. In 2006, she was a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley and was simultaneously opening her restaurant at the same time, so it's safe to say she was always busy and kind of considered herself a workaholic. In January of 2006, she started every day working at Morgan Stanley from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then headed straight to the restaurant and worked late into the night. And on top of that, she was also a single mother to her daughter, Kiara. Simona said Kiara was the best thing that ever happened to her. She was sweet, honest, and smart, and she loved being her mother. Juggling all of that was a lot, but Simona wanted to do it all. Because she was working so much, she didn't really see her friends and family very often, let alone having any time to meet new people or date anyone, which wasn't a huge problem for her at the time because she had always been adamant that she was never going to get married. She didn't want to sacrifice her freedom. So when her family would ask her why she wasn't dating anyone, she would just dodge the question. Golden Crust was supposed to open in the beginning of March 2006, but things changed when Simona's father suddenly passed away. He had very tragically taken his own life, which turned Simona's life upside down. She pushed back the opening of the restaurant to give herself enough time to deal with everything and grieve. The restaurant was opened in the very last week of March. And a few months after opening Golden Crust, Simona met a man named Jerry Ramratan. He would come into the restaurant often and get food and talk with her. The first time she met Jerry, he was wearing a suit, and she noticed that he had a holster with a gun in it. He told her he was a cop and a detective for the Brooklyn DA's office. And he did consultant work, which was conveniently right down the street from Simona's restaurant, so he would pop by periodically throughout the day. He pointed out to Simona that her cameras were positioned wrong and offered to stop by later in the week to look at her camera system. And she felt very grateful. She thought that was a very kind offer. And from there, the two had a friendship. Jerry would show up and do Simona random favors. He would do things like take her car to the car wash, help her with anything she needed, just to make her life a little bit easier. So naturally, over some time, she developed feelings for Jerry.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Our culture can expect a lot from men, and there's still such a stigma surrounding men's mental health. Men are taught they need to be strong, stoic, and self-sufficient, making it really difficult for them to ask for help when they really need it. It's no wonder why 6 million men in the U.S. suffer from depression every year, and it's often undiagnosed. I'm here to tell you it's okay to struggle. Real strength comes from opening up about what you're dealing with and doing something about it, so that you can be at your best for yourself and everyone in your life. If you're a man and you're feeling the weight of the world, talk to someone, anyone, a friend, a loved one, a therapist. I've definitely benefited from therapy. I've learned how to cope with stress, I've gotten way better at communicating, and it's been really helpful talking through things with an unbiased, neutral person who isn't a part of my personal life. And what's great about BetterHelp is it's so convenient. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, which makes it easy to fit into your busy schedule, and you can switch therapists at any time if you don't work out. Steph and I also love reading reviews, and BetterHelp has a rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client reviews. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/nottoday. That's betterhelp.com/nottoday.
Things started slowly. They would go out to a movie or hang out during whatever free time she had, which wasn't much, but she was seeing a lot more of him. And by 2007, the two were dating. The family's overall impression of Jerry was positive. Simona's niece, Melanie, who worked at the restaurant as well, said they looked up to him in a way, since he worked for the NYPD. He showed the family his gun, since he always had it with him, and Melanie thought he was cool. The family met Jerry around the same time as Simona, since they worked in the restaurant with her, and they saw how helpful Jerry was from the start, so they really felt happy for Simona. Jerry fit himself right into her life. He carried himself with confidence, he was a cool guy, and the way he walked and talked, it seemed like he was really put together. He seemed to care about Simona a lot. Her family wanted her to have someone, and they wanted her to be happy, and also worried about Simona living by herself, being out late at night, and the fact that she owned a cash business. But they saw Jerry as a cop who was going to protect her, so that felt like a relief. And Simona never even really had to introduce Jerry to Kiara officially because he was just always around at the restaurant, so she knew him. Kiara never really questioned anything about Jerry being around, although Simona could tell that her daughter didn't love having Jerry around. At first, it started out with Jerry taking Simona home to make sure she made it home safe after a date, and then he started staying over. Jerry lived with his mother, so when he and Simona officially started dating, he began spending a lot of time at her home. Simona didn't mind Jerry staying over, because she was still dealing with the grief of losing her father, and she felt like he was the only person she could talk to about her dad. Because her father had taken his own life, she didn't feel like it would have been easy to have conversations about him with her family. It was all too raw. But she was dealing with a lot of emotions. She was devastated. She felt anger because she didn't understand how her father could do something like that. So Jerry was there for her in a time when she really needed someone. That was one of the biggest reasons why they became so close so quickly. By August of 2008, the couple had been dating for 2 years and had started talking about taking their relationship to the next step and started talking about marriage. But everything changed one day when Simona was working in the restaurant and received a call that she was not expecting. The call came in randomly in the middle of the day. She had an office in the basement of the restaurant, so she took the call down there. On the phone was a woman asking for Simona. And after the woman confirmed she was talking to Simona, she said, "I have something to tell you. Are you sitting down?" Which is never something you want to hear from a random person who called you in the middle of the day. Simona immediately felt how weird this all was, but the woman said, "You're not going to like what I'm going to tell you. Jerry's been lying to you." She told Simona she was married to him and they had 3 kids. It's like the original "Hey girly" message. Simona got "Hey girlied." She was instantly confused and didn't know what to do. She asked this woman what he did for a living, almost not believing what she was saying, and wanted proof. And the woman said, "Oh, well, let me guess, is he telling you he's a detective or a cop?" And Simona said, "Yes, both. Which one is he?" The woman told her he was neither. Simona then asked if they were married, where does Jerry live? And where does she live? Because he spent a lot of time at Simona's house, even when Simona wasn't there sometimes. The woman told Simona she lived in Brooklyn, and Jerry did mostly live at his mother's house, which checked out. Simona talked to this woman for a little while and definitely confirmed that Jerry was lying to her. So she started to wonder how she could have been so stupid. She felt like she should have known. These are big lies. She took a moment to collect herself, before finally going back upstairs where Jerry was at the time. She immediately confronted him and said that she had just gotten off the phone with his wife. Jerry said, "Oh, don't believe a thing she says." Simona was taken aback and asked, "Okay, well, is she or is she not your wife? It's that simple." Jerry told her no, but yes, which is a complete non-answer. He said they were still married because she had to get a green card. And Simona felt kind of okay with that answer. People do need to stay married for a certain amount of time to get their green cards, but this woman also claimed she had multiple children with Jerry, so it didn't seem like it was just a green card marriage. She also confronted him about knowing he wasn't really a cop or a detective, but he again tried to spin that story to make it fit his narrative. But Simona made it clear that their relationship was over. She didn't have any hard feelings, she just wanted him gone. And at this point, Simona was only starting to realize it, but Jerry was a shady character. One of Jerry's former friends, let's call him Dave since we don't have his real name, first bonded with Jerry over having drinks and meeting girls, and then they became friends. At the time he met Jerry, he was married with multiple children, but would go out a lot. He had a security company, so he'd provide services to nightclubs and bars, and was definitely a ladies' man. Dave never really asked him questions, though. Jerry was the kind of friend that you'd go out with and have drinks with, so he didn't really care what Jerry did, to a certain extent. The first time Dave met Simona was at Golden Crust. He immediately knew that she was out of Jerry's league. She was a successful woman, she owned her own restaurant, so that was what he thought drew Jerry to her. Dave said throughout Jerry's time dating Simona, he still spent time with his wife and other times would go hang out with Simona. So Dave honestly didn't know why a woman like Simona would waste her time with a guy like Jerry. On top of Jerry being a womanizer, Dave also knew Jerry would walk around with a badge in his wallet and told people that he was a detective, but Dave said you would never actually see his badge. You'd only see the imprint of the badge through his wallet. And on one occasion, Dave had an expired sticker on his license plate and a couple cops pulled him over. When he was talking to one of the cops, Jerry began talking to the other one on the passenger side, and he flashed his wallet with the shield imprint, and both cops said, "Okay, have a good day," and without asking for a driver's license or anything, they left. Every time he'd see cops, he would talk to them like he knew them. Simona said Jerry knew everybody. She heard him talking on the phone to people at the DA's office in Brooklyn regularly, and looking back on it, she said he may have been paid to be an informant, which is why he knew so many people, but many people believed he was a cop. Dave ultimately had a falling out with Jerry because he couldn't trust him. He was a sketchy guy. But after Jerry and Simona's initial breakup, Jerry asked Simona if he could stay with her for a couple of weeks until he figured things out, and she agreed. But a couple of weeks turned into a couple of months, and Jerry was still very much in and around Simona's home. He would come and go, but she said it didn't really seem like he was making any plans to leave. It also didn't seem like he accepted Simona broke up with him. She would hear him talking about her as if they were still a couple, which was really frustrating to her. Finally, on March 8th, 2009, Simona had had enough and told Jerry he needed to give back her keys. It was a Sunday around 9 a.m., and nobody was in the house when Jerry showed up at the back door. He asked Simona if he could talk to her, and she told him he could talk through the screen door since she didn't want to let him in. She didn't want to talk to him. She was tired and had a headache, and she wanted to be done with all of this. But Jerry didn't take no for an answer. He said anything he could to get what he wanted, and in this case, he agreed he would give her back her keys, and after that, he would leave her alone. And eventually, he wore her down enough to let him in. After all, Simona just wanted this interaction to be over, and he was saying what she wanted to hear. But when she turned around to let Jerry walk inside behind her, he pushed her face down on the ground. She then heard him peel off a piece of duct tape he must have brought with him and bound her wrists behind her back. Simona was immediately extremely angry, so she began getting loud. She yelled at him and began cursing. He dragged her to the bedroom and put her on the bed, and spent the rest of the day trying to convince her to get back together with him. According to her, this was a very bizarre day. Jerry had restrained her, but he left her there all day. At times, he was even calm and doing things that were seemingly normal, like watching TV or eating Chinese food that he had ordered, but he held her captive for hours. Simona was furious, and she and Jerry eventually began arguing again, and she said, "I just let him have it. I called him every name I could possibly call him." And that was when things really escalated. At one point, he began crying and pulled out his gun and began pointing it at his own head. Simona's mind was racing. She didn't know what he was going to do. Was he going to hurt himself? Was he going to shoot her and then kill himself? She was terrified. Jerry then pulled Simona up and through the basement door and down the stairs. He pushed her down on the ground and raped her. After that, Simona said instead of her sitting there crying, he sat there crying and begged her not to say anything or report what he had done to the police. Eventually, he got up and grabbed his belongings and left, and Simona ran upstairs and locked the door behind him. She ran to the front window to make sure she actually saw him driving away. Once he was gone, she grabbed the phone and called the cops. She told 911 Queens County Dispatcher that she was assaulted by her ex-boyfriend and she needed to make a report. Police arrived at her house shortly after that, and she was taken to the hospital right away to get a rape kit done. Jerry was arrested and was put on $150,000 bail, which his mother paid, and he was released. He claimed the sex was consensual, and so it turned into a he said, she said case. Frank DiGaetano was working at the Queens DA office at the time, and he was given Simona's case in March of 2009. He brought Simona in to talk him through everything, and his first impression of her was that she was very composed and was able to compellingly retell the details of her attack. All the evidence they had supported her account of what happened, and they had a DNA match from the swab taken during the rape kit. Frank DiGaetano felt comfortable being the prosecutor on this case because Simona felt very credible, and everything pointed to her story being the truth. The case was presented to the grand jury, and they secured an indictment against Jerry, and all they had to do now was wait for the case to start. But as if that wasn't enough to deal with, during that period of time, Jerry called Simona and begged her to drop the case and to think about his children. She did get a restraining order and the calls stopped. But then Jerry began sending friends and family members to her restaurant to warn her to drop the charges against him or her life would get worse. And she didn't know it then, but those threats weren't empty. There wasn't anything the police could do about these friends and family members coming to the restaurant because her restraining order was only against Jerry, so they couldn't stop them from coming in. And Frank DiGaetano let Simona know by August 2010 they would be having hearings for trial very shortly. And once things started, she knew Jerry wouldn't get away with it, and she could finally put all of this to rest. She just wanted this nightmare to be over, but little did she know things were about to get worse. On May 21st, 2010, 2 months until the trial, Simona was working at the restaurant, and a friend of hers asked her to prepare a fish dish for him and drop it off at his work, which was only a few blocks away. As she pulled up to the school that he worked at, she heard sirens behind her. She had pulled off to the side and definitely didn't think that these sirens were for her, so she didn't really think much of it, but then the police cars stopped behind her. A police officer approached Simona's car and asked her to step out of the vehicle. So she started thinking to herself, had she run a stoplight? She stepped out of the car because they asked her to, and she felt like this whole thing had to be a misunderstanding. But after getting out of the car, they handcuffed her, and she ended up in the back of a cop car. Simona was extremely confused as they drove her out of Brooklyn and toward Long Island. She had no idea why they would be going to Long Island. They wouldn't give her any information as to why they were taking her there. All they told her was once they got there, she would understand. When she got to the precinct, she was brought into an interrogation room with two detectives, and they asked her if she had anything to confess to or to say. She told them no. She felt like they had made a mistake because she shouldn't be there. But they weren't backing down. They told her if she told them what she did now, it would be much easier for her later on. And they told her they knew exactly what she had done. Simona was in shock. She wanted them to just tell her what they thought she did so she could confirm or deny it. But they wouldn't, and hours went by. Eventually, one of the detectives brought out a file, and inside was a picture of Jerry. She then asked them if this had something to do with Jerry because if it did, he was behind it. But the detectives told her no, this had nothing to do with him. Which didn't make any sense. Why did they have his picture if it didn't have anything to do with him? Marissa Valley worked in the police impersonations unit at the NYPD, and she was working two crimes that happened to be in Queens, which was in the NYPD jurisdiction. The cases were police impersonation robbery cases. And the victims were giving the description as one woman who was committing these crimes. And she received a call from Nassau County, who had a pattern similar to their pattern in Queens. So Marissa Valley was informed that they had just arrested Simona, and they believed she was the same perpetrator the NYPD was looking for. Apparently, the complainant had picked Simona's photo out of a lineup. It was 11 p.m. by the time Marissa Valley arrived, and Simona had been in custody for 4 hours. The Nassau County Police were sure that she was the one behind these multiple crimes.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
There were two robberies in Queens and one in Nassau County. But Simona still had no idea what she was being accused of or charged with. By the time Marissa had gotten there, Simona was very worn out and had no idea what to say to her. Marissa explained the two crimes that happened in Queens. She learned that 7 months prior, someone had impersonated a cop and there was a robbery at gunpoint. As soon as Simona heard that this had something to do with someone impersonating a cop, she knew Jerry was behind this. She had a feeling it was him before, but that sealed the deal for her. She immediately began telling Marissa about Jerry and her upcoming rape case with him. She said she was here because her ex was setting her up because she would be taking him to trial. And Marissa was not expecting that. But from how Simona was acting and from what she was telling her, it seemed that she was telling the truth. And before leaving the room, Simona held Marissa's arm and begged her not to leave her there, which really stuck with Marissa, even now. But there was nothing she could do. This was out of her jurisdiction. This was Nassau County's case. Marissa told the detectives in charge of the case that there was a lot of information that needed to be investigated, but she could tell that Simona had no idea what was going on with what she was being accused of. But the Nassau County detectives weren't so sure. By 9 a.m., Simona had spent 14 hours in custody. That morning, she was brought to the courthouse and was put before a judge. At that point, Simona felt like as soon as she got in front of the judge, they would realize they really didn't have anything on her and they would let her go home. But soon enough, Simona was being read her charges. Robbery in the first degree, robbery in the second degree, criminal impersonation in the first degree, and menacing in the second degree. And Simona felt like this was all a joke. None of this had happened. But before she knew it, she was being transported to Nassau County Correctional Facility. She felt like this was all some kind of bad dream. Simona's niece was working at the restaurant when they got the news that she was in jail, so they immediately closed the store and left. Nobody in the family knew what was going on. All they knew was that the police had her for armed robbery, which was ludicrous. Simona would never do something like that. Simona was allowed to talk to 12-year-old Kiara on the phone that first day and tried to reassure her that everything would be okay because she didn't want to scare her. She told her daughter she wouldn't be home for a few days, but until she made it home, Kiara had to listen to her grandmother and her aunt. That really must have felt like a nightmare, because all she's ever done is just work really hard and find success and be a good mother. And now she's in jail for something she has not done, and nobody will listen to her, and she's certain that her ex is behind it. And she has to talk to her 12-year-old daughter over the phone from jail. She was still feeling like this would work out, and they would figure out that this was some kind of misunderstanding, but still, it was very scary. Anthony Grandiente was Simona's attorney. Forgive me if I said his name wrong. I believe she called him Tony. Anthony was known for representing people who had been falsely arrested and convicted for crimes that they had not committed. And Simona was arrested on two separate felony complaints. The two armed robberies carried 16 separate felonies and was facing, as he put it, catastrophic jail time. She was facing 50 years in jail should she be found guilty. Simona was clear with Anthony that she was innocent and that she was convinced her ex-boyfriend was attempting to frame her to discredit her from his upcoming trial. Simona's bail was set at $1 million, and she could not make that bail, which means she would remain in jail. And as she sat in jail, all she could think about was the fact that you could rape someone and be out on $150,000 bail, but she was sitting in jail, and she didn't do anything. When Frank DiGaetano heard about Simona's charges, he was definitely surprised. It did not make sense. At that point, the rape case was ready for trial, but that wasn't good because the jury would be viewing her in a very different light. It could make her seem less credible. It was devastating for their case, so they basically had to put the case at a standstill until they could sort out what was going to happen with Simona. So here's what happened to put Simona in jail in the first place. There were three people who claimed that they had been robbed at gunpoint by a woman with a fake police badge. On September 15th, there was a call from a man named Rajiv Molinal. He claimed he was stopped randomly and robbed at gunpoint by a dark-skinned female with a gold shield around her neck and was brandishing a black handgun. And that was investigated by NYPD, but the case was dropped. On March 2nd, at 1:30 in the morning, a man named Terrell Lavelle claimed he was stopped randomly by a dark Indian woman, approximately 5 feet tall, with a gold shield around her neck, and she was also holding a black semi-automatic gun. She had handcuffed him, stole $100, and took his watch and pinky ring. Terrell was also able to give a partial plate number of the Jeep that she was driving. And on May 19th, 2010, a woman named Luz Johnson called 911 and reported a very similar gunpoint robbery and allegedly had $1,400 stolen from her purse. Luz Johnson, however, had been able to give a full license plate number, and that plate was linked back to Simona. They also lined up photos with Simona's in the mix, and she was picked out of the lineup by both Terrell Lavelle and Luz Johnson, which was what resulted in her arrest. According to Luz Johnson, she called 911 at 1:30 a.m. on May 19th in Inwood, New York. And that was significant information because Simona was over 100 miles away at the time of the robbery. She was at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut. It would have been physically impossible for her to commit that crime. She was even seen on CCTV footage at the casino because if you're sitting at a blackjack table, you're on camera. And she knew that. So she made a call to the casino and got the footage from the night that she was there. They also had cell tower pings from calls she made to Kiara that night that placed her in Connecticut at the time of the crime. And it wasn't like she did things like that very often, so she was lucky that she had a very strong alibi. By June 18, 2010, Simona had spent nearly a month in jail. She testified in the grand jury under oath that she believed Jerry was the one that was setting her up, and she gave her alibi. But in court, Simona was told that the picture of her at the casino wasn't clear enough. It was too grainy to determine if it was actually her or not. So it really didn't help her. And also, the cell tower pings weren't good enough because apparently anyone could have made those calls with her phone in Connecticut. So basically, her alibi was trashed. And that was really scary because her proof that she didn't commit these crimes wasn't as ironclad as she thought it was. They had enough evidence to put her on trial. The prosecution was claiming that Simona's restaurant was failing and she was in desperate financial straits, which was why she committed the robberies. And Simona was sent into a full panic. She didn't know what her defense would be, and they had all this fake, quote-unquote, proof that was clearly working. Over the next few months, Simona was still in jail and was being subjected to the treatment that a prisoner would be. She had strip downs, pat downs, and every day felt like a lifetime. All she could do was keep repeating that this was all Jerry's doing, but that didn't help. Simona's attorney decided that he should look into Jerry. He wanted to cross-reference phone records between Luz Johnson, Terrell Lavelle, and Jerry Remertan to verify if there was any contact between the three. Because if there was, that would be pretty significant evidence. So he wrote a letter to the DA and stressed that he needed 1 year's worth of phone records between Lavelle, Johnson, and Jerry. But that request was denied, and so her attorney became very concerned that he wouldn't be able to link the three of them together. That was the core of Simona's defense, so without that, they were in trouble.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
By November of 2010, Simona had been in jail for over 5 months. Her family was starting to lose hope that she would get out. It seemed like things were really stacked against her, and there was nothing they could do to prove her innocence, which they knew she was. Golden Krust only lasted about a month after Simona's arrest. Her family worked for her, but they didn't know what to do since she handled everything. She lost everything she had worked for, and her house was even going into foreclosure, which was even worse. She was furious. That was the house that she had lived in when she first came to this country. It meant everything to her. Kiara was also, of course, affected by her mother's absence. She was dealing with a lot of sadness and stress, even though her family members told her that her mother would be home soon. Her family tried to hold out hope, but it was getting difficult. On one afternoon, Jerry's former friend, Dave, as we're calling him, saw on the news that Simona was in Nassau County Jail, and that was when Dave had a sinking feeling because he knew exactly how she had gotten there. In September of 2009, 8 months before Simona's arrest, Jerry messaged Dave and told him that they needed to hang out and catch up. He mentioned Simona had found out about his wife and kids, and at the time, Jerry said that he was trying to get back with his wife, and Simona was going to call up child services to mess with that. Dave honestly didn't think that that was something she would do, but Jerry went on to say that he needed Dave to do him a big favor. He needed Dave to call the cops and tell them that Simona pulled him over and was impersonating a cop. She came up to his car with a gun and a badge, and she robbed him. Dave was shocked by that request and didn't know if Jerry was serious. He definitely wasn't going to do something like that. But Jerry really didn't want to take no for an answer, and after that, they went to meet a friend of his, Rajiv. While they were with Rajiv, Dave overheard them discussing a plan to frame Simona, which was when he knew Jerry was being serious and that he was really that crazy. That was when he knew he needed to keep his distance from Jerry, because he didn't want to be on Jerry's bad side. And now that he had seen that Simona was in jail, he knew that Jerry had gone through with his plan to frame Simona. 5 months after Simona's arrest, Dave went out with some friends to a bar in Queens, and while he was there, Rajiv, who was one of the men that Jerry paid off to frame Simona, walked into the bar. Dave stopped him and said, "Hi." And after a minute or so of casual chatting, he said, "Listen, I know what you did. You said that Simona robbed you, which we know is a lie. You need to tell the truth, and if you don't, I'm going to the DA myself." Which is a bold move by Dave. So much for not being on Jerry's bad side. Rajiv immediately pulled back and was like, "Oh yeah, I feel so bad about it. I wanted to tell them the truth too. I'll call you and we'll take care of it." And then he left. And instead of calling back Dave, he called the cops. A couple of days later, the cops called Dave, and he was told to come into the precinct, and he met with internal affairs. Dave told them that Jerry was the mastermind behind all of this, and Simona didn't do anything. She was innocent. Jerry had paid off witnesses to lie and say that she robbed them. But detectives didn't believe him, and said, no, Simona was guilty. Not only did they say Jerry had nothing to do with it, but they believed Dave was working alongside Simona and was threatening the victims. The detectives then put Dave in handcuffs and took him to jail as well. Can you actually imagine? Very brave of him to confront Rajiv in the bar, but I do wish that he just went to the cops first. Because after Dave had talked to Rajiv that night, he left and told Jerry about Dave's threat, and Jerry had Rajiv file a police report on Dave, basically saying that somebody had tampered with him. So now Dave was charged with felony witness tampering, which in New York carries a prison sentence of 8 to 25 years. So Simona's facing 50 years, and Dave is facing 25. At that point, Dave had to hire a lawyer, which he couldn't really afford to do, but he had no choice. He lost a lot of time at his job and became very depressed and really angry at the situation. He needed those charges dropped. By the end of November, Simona had been in jail for over 6 months. She had officially lost hope and didn't know what to do. She was in a really bad place. She got sick, she couldn't eat, she lost a lot of weight and broke out, her hair was even coming out in clumps. She had ear infections and felt like her life had spiraled out of control. Jerry had taken everything from her. But in December of 2010, out of nowhere, a woman named Sophia Lewis walked into the Nassau County DA's office and asked to speak to somebody about Simona's case. She had met Jerry in a nightclub in Queens and had developed a relationship with him, and she said he confessed to her that he wanted to set up his ex because she had threatened to set him up. He was going to get her first before she said something. She also said that there had been no robbery and that everything had been staged. Sophia said Jerry had told her he had gotten his cousin, Rajiv, to do it. According to her, Jerry drove Rajiv around Nassau County and Sophia Lewis was in the car at the time. Jerry asked Rajiv to help him stage a robbery against his ex-girlfriend and then pulled out his handgun and put it in his lap and told Rajiv that something could happen to his family if he didn't help him. Sophia said Jerry explained exactly how everything would go down. His plan was to have people in Queens say they got robbed, and he also chose Nassau County because their rules are stricter than Queens. Sophia also knew Terrell Lavelle and Luz Johnson. She claimed Jerry offered them $20,000 to stage the robbery, but they were never paid the money. Jerry had thought out all of the little details. Like in the first stage robbery, there was no license plate given from Rajiv. And then in the next one, Terrell got a partial plate. And then finally, Luz Johnson had the whole plate number. By the time they had reached the third robbery, they were much closer to Jerry's rape trial, and he needed to close it down. So that was why Luz Johnson gave the full plate. Jerry knew all the little details he had to include because he had been a confidential informant at various points for a bunch of units within the NYPD. He knew how the police operated, how detectives operated, and he was able to use that knowledge to make these accusations even more convincing. And after the first two staged robberies, Sophia Lewis told Jerry that she didn't want to know anything else. And Jerry was pissed about that. And now here she was, telling the police exactly what had happened. And honestly, a part of me didn't expect the detectives to take that seriously because they had already arrested Dave in all of this, but thankfully they did. And on December 2nd, 2010, Simona was told that she had a visitor. At first, she thought that somebody was coming to tell her something terrible because she didn't have any family that was scheduled to visit her. But it was actually her attorney, and he was coming with the best news. She was going to be released. The charges were being dropped. And he even bought Kiara there to celebrate with her. Simona said she never had so much energy in her life. This nightmare was finally over. The first time Simona's family saw her, they were all very emotional. They wanted to make a big deal out of every little thing she did, which I think is so sweet. She's obviously very loved. But now that the truth had come out, detectives needed to turn the case on Jerry. And they were able to flip the three co-conspirators pretty easy. Rajiv, Terrell Lavelle, and Luz Johnson all gave statements that there were no robberies, and Jerry had coached them and shown them photographs of Simona so they could identify her, and he gave them her plate number. They were all used as witnesses against Jerry. And as the case moved toward trial, they also dropped Dave's charges, and he was brought into the case as well. So things were really stacking up against Jerry. The evidence they had of conspiracy was overwhelming. They had each of his co-conspirators testifying for the prosecution. They had Sophia Lewis testifying against Jerry. They had Simona. They had Dave. And they also still had the rape case that was joined with the conspiracy case as one indictment. They needed to join the two cases to show that the rape was the motivating factor for Jerry to bring false charges against Simona. Which was great because it was really a two birds, one stone kind of situation. And Simona did amazing on the witness stand. She was extremely compelling. During her testimony, her attorney said you could hear a pin drop. She moved jurors to tears as she gave a chilling account of what she endured. And at the end of the case, the jury came back with a verdict of guilty on all charges. Her attorney said it was the only time in his career that he got a standing ovation from the jury. Which is extremely telling at how they all felt about Jerry. The judge said, quote, "The evidence showed him to be a violent rapist, an evil and vindictive schemer, a sinister manipulator, a diabolical conniver, and he deserves no mercy from me, and he won't get it." Jerry was sentenced to 25 years, which was the maximum on the rape, plus 7 years consecutive for the conspiracy, so in total, he got 32 years. After his conviction, he maintained his innocence and claimed the true story was going to come out at some point. Whatever, Jerry, sure it will. You can go rot. It was unreal how evil he could be. Not only did Simona endure hours of torture, but she spent 7 months in jail away from her daughter while he was out partying. And when she heard that he was found guilty, her initial reaction was anger. Not that he was going away, of course, but she was angry that nobody had listened to her to begin with. Why did she need to take these 7 months away from her daughter to get to this outcome? He was so obviously to blame the entire time. So she decided to pursue a case against Detective Charles and Nassau County. He was the detective who had initially interrogated her on the night that she was arrested, and was one of the main driving factors as to why nobody really listened to her. So I completely understand why she did that. When she was arrested and interrogated, Detective Charles had a folder with information about Jerry in it. If we remember, she saw a picture of Jerry in the interrogation room and asked if this had something to do with him, because if so, it's his fault. How did they have Jerry's folder on their desk if they didn't really believe he was somehow involved in all of this? So they knew on the day of her arrest that Jerry may have been involved in these cases. And yet, when she said that he was involved, they didn't believe her. It didn't make any sense. Simona's attorney, Anthony, said that this was the first time in his career he had ever seen anything like that. He said, quote, "In my professional opinion, the prosecutors were asleep at the wheel. The detectives were bumbling buffoons, as well as, unfortunately, dishonest. They knew Jerry was an informant with the NYPD. They knew Jerry purported to many, many people that he was in law enforcement when he wasn't. Detectives knew you could absolutely not trust a word that came out of his mouth. He would tell you with a straight face it's Sunday when it was Monday." And I completely agree. Jerry knew so many people, and he was constantly flashing his badge. He even flashed it to police officers, which Dave saw and got him out of a ticket. Which I have no idea how he got away with that, because it's illegal to do that, as we know. But yeah, these detectives knew that he was as shady of a guy as he was, and that he himself would impersonate police officers, and that he had a connection to Simona, and they still didn't listen to her. It's unreal and really makes you wonder, did Jerry have something to do with that? I'm not saying he did, but it is suspicious and weird that these detectives would know the kind of guy that he was, and completely disregard any suspicion for him. Very strange. But now Jerry is in his 50s and is currently incarcerated at the Eastern New York Correctional Facility, which is a maximum security level facility for males. He will be eligible for parole in December of 2031 after having served a minimum sentence of 21 years, but I hope he stays there for the maximum amount of time that they can get out of that, because he is an evil man and he deserves it. Terrell Lavelle, Luz Johnson, and Rajiv were subsequently charged with lying about Simona's supposed crimes, and they pled guilty to perjury and were sentenced to 6 months in jail plus 4 years of probation. In December of 2011, Simona sued Nassau County and the detectives involved in her false arrest for damages, and in 2017, nearly 7 years after her arrest, they settled out of court and she won $2 million. She said she never wanted any certain amount. She just wanted to win and basically have them admit that they were wrong and out of line. No part of her wanted to take this to court. She didn't want to testify. She didn't want Kiara to have to testify. She said truly any settlement that they proposed to her, she probably would have taken because she just wanted this whole thing to be over. So the fact that she got $2 million is pretty great, and that this was all over was a relief. And she feels like she couldn't have had a better outcome. So for that reason, I'm very happy for her. I don't really have any other information on where she is now, but I hope she's doing well. I hope she lives a life full of health, happiness, and love. And also, she's gorge, which is just a side note, but I felt like it had to be said. But that's Simona's story and how she endured hell for 7 months, but made it out on the other side. I am so glad that things turned out the way that they did, because things got dark in there. She lost her business, her house went into foreclosure, her alibi was thrown out, and it was looking like she was gonna go to trial and then serve jail time or prison time, up to 50 years for something she had not done. It's really unbelievable to try to put yourself in her shoes and like imagine what that would have been like. How terrified she must have felt, and how helpless she and her family felt, because they all believed that she was innocent, because she was. She's a great woman. She always has been. So although I wish that Sophia Lewis would have come to the police sooner, I'm just glad that she showed up at all and told them the truth of the situation, because without that, there's no telling what would have happened to both her and Dave. And also shout out to him for trying to do the right thing and then getting himself thrown in jail. This whole thing is insane. Yeah, Jerry deserves to be in prison, and I hope he's having a terrible time. And I think that's all I have to say about that. Let's move on to a bit of a palate cleanser, and I can tell you something good that has nothing to do with this, so we can go back to our days as normal. My good thing is that the casting for the new Hunger Games movie, Sunrise on the Reaping, looks really good. And I know that that movie's not going to come out for like a good 2 years, but I'm excited. I ate that book up when it came out, and I'm very excited. Hunger Games rocks. I also never saw The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which is the movie that came out recently-ish. I'm going to eat some dill pickle puffs that I got from Costco, which is pretty sick. I'm going to watch a movie, and I'll probably go to bed early. It's shaping up to be a lovely evening, so that's really great. And that's my good thing. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. We have almost 40 full-length episodes that our patrons voted on over there. Go check it out. You won't regret it. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival or something crazy that's happened to you and you'd like to share with us and possibly hear it on an upcoming listeners episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We have a TikTok that is Not Today Podcast and a Twitter that is Not Today Podcast, but the TN that a podcast is a 3 because that makes sense. And just keep breathing. Yeah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.